Thanks, Dan. Bless you, man.
Yeah, blessed.
Praise the Lord. We're excited to be with you this morning. You guys have been partnering with us, yet not seeing our faces. So for these 11 years, you guys have been supporting the work in EFS, so we're excited to get an opportunity to share a little bit about that with you. But as Dan's been sharing a little bit about our family, I got married just almost 12 years ago, and we have been childless for 11 years. And last summer, we adopted our twins, Anthony, and about 3.5 weeks later, we found out that we were expecting, and this past April, on Easter Sunday morning, we received our third little miracle, and so now, in 8.5 months, we have 3 children. Just the excitement of what God has given us, yes. And so we praise the Lord for that. It's 11 years in about a week since we went to Ethiopia. And you guys get our newsletters and our updates periodically, but you don't always get to hear from the horse's mouth, so to speak. So this morning I want to share with you from the horse's mouth what God's doing. I want you to be encouraged. I want you to be inspired that sometimes we don't see so far off what God's doing, and in our own life there might be difficulties or challenges that cause us to lose focus. But I want to take you back to the Gospel of Matthew, where Jesus gives us a commission. And I want to encourage you from the Scripture, but also from the ministry in Ethiopia. If we go back to 1991, in Ethiopia, communism fell. From 1974 to 1991, it was a communist nation, and in 1991, the communists were overthrown, and there was a window of opportunity as transition came, and it was during that time, in the next year that followed, that parents went to and set up a POC work there, coming alongside with churches that already existed. We didn't plant our own church, our own denomination. We came alongside various churches that existed in and just started to help them. And around 2000, I went to for 1 year to work alongside Brian and get involved in teaching and training and releasing church planters. Now, fast forward to 2003, when I went back, we came alongside in training up leadership and releasing church planters. And in these 11 years, there's been probably more than 3,500 church planters that we've been able to release out. And thousands and thousands of churches have been planted. And I want to share just a glimpse of that. If you have your Bibles, can you come to Matthew's Gospel, chapter 28, and I want to start in verse 16. Often we jump to verse 19, and I saw here on your banners, Matthew 28, verse 19. But I want to go back just a little bit before that. And then we're going to look at verse 19 as well. But Matthew 28, verses 16 up to 20. And remember, this is just after Jesus has been resurrected. Jesus has directed his disciples to come and meet him. And so in verse 16, it said, "Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him. But some doubted." This is what fascinates me. They're obedient to Jesus. They're worshiping Jesus. There's still a bit of doubt. That happens in our life, doesn't it? Walking, we're doing what God's called us to do. We're worshiping him. We love him. But there still creeps in those moments of doubt. And that's when Jesus speaks this wonderful passage that we call the Great Commission. And really what he reveals is their future. Not their present situation of having doubt. Not you should have greater faith. He reveals their future. And here it is. Jesus said, "All authority on heaven and earth has been given to me." That's their future. That's your future. All authority on heaven and earth has been given to Christ. And then he says, "Because of that, because I have all authority, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. Here's our work. Here's our responsibility. And here's his commitment. Behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. I don't know about you, but this gets me excited. And we see it in Ethiopia when we go into an Islamic community and the opposition is so harsh and so aggressive, and they're killing our church planters. And we go to meet with the church planters that are left, and in tears they say, "We know our God is going to move. We're no churches are going to be planted because people's lives have been given to see the gospel expanded." In February of 2009, I was down in working with 33 of our church planters, and we have a training with them, and we work with them about every 6 months. I go down and train with them, and then when they find a few converts that are potential leaders, they bring them to the training, and they will take the church and lead it on. And we're down there with these 33 church planters in February, and less than two weeks after we were together, seven of the church planters and four of their elders were killed by bomb attacks. What in the world? All authority on heaven and earth has been given to Christ. It's not an accident. It's part of his purpose, his plan. And we don't have to doubt. We don't have to be fearful. We can go with some confidence, because our future is under the great commander. And when you look across Africa, this is something that gets me excited. Africa has largely been touched by the Church of Christ. But you go up to the northern part, there's still about 275 million that have not heard about Jesus. That's our responsibility. That's our opportunity. And what gets me excited is, you know, there's been this Arab Spring. I don't know if you heard about that, that's in the news back to 2011, where all these nations across North Africa and the Middle East thought they could have this little groundswell of reformation. And the idea was there'll be a transformation, now we'll have a free country, we'll be like the West, we'll have everything. It didn't happen. And their hope is unfulfilled. I know who fulfills hope. I have a commander who fulfills all hope. That gives me excitement. That gives me joy. You know what? We have an opportunity. We have an opportunity to touch him. We have an opportunity to see the gospel expand. Not just to us four and no more, but beyond the walls to those who have not yet heard. What excites me when we come back to Canada is we see the nations flooding in. We see the nations coming to us. You know, it used to be you had to go a long way to find somebody of a different ethnic group. Am I right? Now they're flooding into us here in Canada. I was up in Fort McMurray. We were out in Camrose. We're out in Edson and Drayton Valley and in Edmonton and down into the coast. And everywhere you go, what do you see? The nations are coming. It's our opportunity here to make disciples. Our future is under this great commander. But it's not just that we have a great commander so we should be at peace. We have a great commander so we should be about his commission. We should be working. Not working to earn our salvation. Working out the fruit of our salvation. Jesus has touched us. We sang this song that he's saved me. I got nothing to offer. I got nothing to bring, and he saved me. Then I got a responsibility. I got some opportunity for work. Not pay him back, but prove what he's done in my life. Witness of what he's done in my life. And so in this great commission, we see very specific activities. We often focus on the go, but the go is not the primary part. The primary part is make disciples. You walk out your door, you're going. You leave your house in the morning, you're going. You're going to be going. Maybe not as far as others. We don't all have to go the same distance. Maybe you're never called to cross the oceans to make disciples. That's my calling. It's my responsibility. But we have a calling to make disciples. Our commander calls us to discipleship. Not conversion, discipleship. To know Christ and to grow in Him. And he makes it very clear, the responsibility. And he says, make disciples of all nations. How? One, baptize them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And two, teaching them to obey everything He's commanded. You know, in Canada, many people kind of are wishy-washy about baptism. Yeah, you know, you can be baptized. You don't have to be baptized. Jesus makes it very clear. This is part of discipleship. And what's interesting in each is we see many different backgrounds. Let me give you just a synopsis of the Ethiopian society. You have 44% that come from an Ethiopian Christian Orthodox background. Much of that is steeped in witchcraft and demonic practice. And many of the leaders make a decision to learn what they call wisdom, which is getting more and more into witchcraft. In the Islamic community, it's about 36%. They are fiercely aggressive against the gospel. And many of them are also into kind of a folk Islam of witchcraft. Many are becoming more radicalized as the people are coming over from Syria to train them to be radicalized. And then we have a small percentage that are animists. They come from kind of tribal religions of Africa, worshiping ancestors and that type of background. And then there's the church, that's about 18%. Born again, spirit-filled, evangelical church. Many different denominations, but they make up about 18% of the population. And into that dynamic, when people come to Christ, they come from some demonic background to Christ. And up to the point of baptism, they're still dabbling. There's still the opportunity to go back. But the Muslims, the Orthodox, and the traditional religions, they all recognize once somebody's baptized, they're done. It's done. You don't even try to win them back. Now you can kill them. And we come to baptisms often, and people have been, they've made a decision for Christ, but they haven't died. And you remember what Paul says in Romans chapter 6? We join with Christ in death, and we come alive by His Spirit. We see that when somebody comes to get baptized, they've dedicated their life to Christ, but they kind of still want to have a little bit of the old. And they touch those waters, and immediately there's a manifestation. By the power of Christ, we deal with the demonic, and they enter the waters of baptism, and they come out dead to the old, alive to the new, and we see many of them go on to be church planters and leaders. In one area, in central west, there's a strong Islamic community. And one of the sons of the king in that area, came to Christ. And he was fearful and nervous. Pardon me, not son. And he came and we were baptizing him and teaching him. And he said, please pray for me. The battle is so intense. Once they know I'm a Christian, they'll kill me. But he said, I have to go back. And we were saying, well, you can take some time and get strengthened in the gospel. You can be encouraged and be with brother. No, I need to go back. And as this brother said, don't contact me, just pray for me. If you contact me, you'll expose me, it'll cause problems. And with sorrow and joy, we prayed for him and released him, not knowing that we would see him again. We heard about a year and a couple months later, almost 15 months later, that he had gone back. And he didn't start shouting to everybody about Jesus. He went and he began to plow his fields. And in many of the Islamic, as well as the Orthodox cultures, there's days you can't work. They're sacred days. In the Orthodox, it's Wednesdays and Fridays and every Saints Day, which is basically every day of the month. So they don't produce much food. When you come to the Islamic communities, they have Tuesdays and Thursdays and then some other special religious days. So there's a lot of days that they're not working. And he went back and he started working Monday through Saturday. And everybody was amazed he didn't die. Because there's a curse. If you start working on those days, you'll die. And that's why they don't work. And he started working. And the young men, the teenagers and the young adults, they came and began to watch. What are you doing? How come you're working on Tuesday? How come you're working on Thursday? What's happening? And he just said, I have to do the work that I've been called to do. He didn't talk about Jesus. He just did his work. And they came and they began to watch. They're waiting for him to die in the fields. And this goes on for some weeks. And all this, more and more of the young men are telling their friends. And everybody's coming. And finally they said, what power do you have? Because anybody that's done this has died. He had the opportunity to tell them about Christ. And in those 15 months, he had a church of more than 600 young men that had come to Christ. Jesus Christ is building his church. Amen? He wants us to be about his call of making disciples. And it means you die. You have to die to yourself. And you come alive. And what Paul says, the life I live, I now live by faith in the Son of God. That's our calling. It's not like that's an option for spiritual people or super spiritual people. That's us. Brothers and sisters in Christ, that's our calling. That's our opportunity. It's not something to be afraid of. It's something to embrace. We had another church planter, and I want you to be excited by what God's doing. Okay? I want you to be encouraged. We had another church planter. He went out, and he was beaten and stoned and thrown down a 30-meter well. The expectation is he's dead. He came out of that well when some ladies heard him shouting. And they put down their ropes and they brought him out. And just a few bruises, not a broken bone. He went back into the town that he came out of. And the people couldn't figure this out. Who are you? We beat you, we stoned you, and we threw you down the well. And how did you come back? Through that miraculous intervention of God, he's able to tell the story. And more than 40 people came to Christ and a church is planted. In some of the Islamic communities, they're becoming more and more aggressive. And as they become more and more aggressive, many of their members are saying, this is not a religion of peace. This is not what we signed up for. And they're opening themselves up for Christ. And down in Southeast India, there's been a move to build a mosque every 5 kilometers. Every 5 kilometers is very close. And you just started to see the landscape was littered with mosques. All along the road, you just see mosque after mosque after mosque after mosque after mosque. We were sending church planters there, and they weren't having a great deal of success. And all of a sudden, they started to have success after these mosques were built. See, we've been sending them there for a while, and they hadn't been getting many converts. You're seeing a couple, three, four, and then the persecution becomes so big that they had to escape. After they built these mosques, they went back in, and they started pushing harder and pushing harder, and whole mosques would come to Christ. They'd cut off the star and the moon and put up a cross, and that mosque became our church. That's exciting, isn't it? Jesus Christ is building his church. And his call is, you and me, participate. Don't stand on the sidelines. Participate. Be part of making disciples. That's the church of Christ. That's what we're called to. And it's not just baptism. It's then teaching to obey Christ. What's amazing is when you see a community that begins to obey Christ. And there's an area called Zai. It's a big lake, beautiful lake. All around it is a desert. And it doesn't make sense that there would be a desert all around there. And when we went in 2003, nobody grows anything there. The farms just don't grow, don't produce. They'll go out and till it up in all the soil and dust and, you know, put their cattle out, but they're not producing anything. Now fast forward to today, where they've been planting churches in that area, and we've been sending out church planters, and many, many churches have been planted. And now you go through there and it's a green valley. No longer desert valley. Green valley, and there's beans and there's flower, massive flower greenhouses that they're exporting to Europe. And what used to be a poor, barren area is now a fresh, productive, becoming rich area. I don't think it's an accident. Our God is a God that changes things. He's a God that makes things new, not just your circumstances, but your life, this abundant life is made new and productive. That gets me excited. Woo! We got something special here. We got Jesus. And Jesus changes things. Doesn't make everything perfect. We still have people getting stoned and killed and imprisoned. That's a reality. But we understand when we get stoned, when we get put in prison, when some of them are killed, we still have this amazing responsibility because we're under the commander of everything who's given us a call of discipleship. And finally, he's given us his commitment. Listen to this commitment. Behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. I don't know about you, that gets me excited. We go into some dark places. We've been to some of these neighboring nations, and I'll be careful how much I say, but basically God has positioned very uniquely. Ethiopia is one of the only countries in Africa to never be colonized. They were never colonized by the Brits, the Belgium, the French, the Portuguese, nothing. They've not had a colonial power. Italy came in for 5 years and they were repelled. And because of that, they left pastries, pasta, pizza, and coffee, like cappuccino machines. So I'm not suffering if you can see. But because of that, Ethiopia has a unique dynamic. Their own language, their own culture, their own community. And when they were under communism, many of their people were able to go out for training to communist countries. You'll find in North Korea, China, all through the Russian Federation and Russian former USSR states. You'll find all through there, all the stands that's so hard for us to pronounce. You'll find there. Because of the Islamic history, you find through North Africa and through the Middle East. You go from Turkey all the way to Algeria, Morocco, Tunisia, all the way across to India and Pakistan, you will find. Because of the democratic movement and during communism, many would escape out that were anti-communist. There's all through Europe and the West. It's amazing. You go to Rome and you find a church focused on reaching the Italians. You go to Germany, you find a church focused in reaching out in Berlin and in Frankfurt and in Munich. And through North Africa and the Middle East, you find churches that are fired up. One of the things that God has allowed us to be part of is the university students movement in Ethiopia. More than 41,000 Christian university students are part of this movement and growing every year. And when they graduate, they have this amazing professional training and a deep heart for the gospel and the work of God. And one of the things that they're saying is, you know what, we have the skills in medical profession as doctors and nurses and lab technicians and chemists and pharmacists. We have that skill. We have the accounting skill for auditing and all these regulations and systems that we put in place. We have the engineers, all the professionals. They're saying now we're being asked by these nations around, by Sudan and South Sudan, even by Egypt and Libya and Algeria, Morocco and Tunisia, even into Yemen and the nations of the Middle East. They're saying, come and help us. You don't have a lot of corruption. You've developed. It's one of the five fastest growing economies in the world right now. Yes. The city has gone from a tiny, small, misguided city to a structure with a place and about 8 million people call it home. The country has about 88 million people, maybe a little more as estimates continue to rise. It's a country with a purpose. But its purpose is not global domination. Its purpose is the seed of Christ to be transplanted into the nations around. Much of Africa is divided into South, Sub-Saharan Africa. Your typical facial structures is more black to the North Africa, which is more Arab looking. And the two don't cross a lot, and there's tensions between the groups. And if you know Ethiopia, you know the uniqueness of Ethiopia, where God has placed it. Now it's the headquarters for the African Union. There's doorways into these nations. The nations that are hard to reach, there's doorways in. Why would you go to Libya Why would you go to a nation like Algeria or Yemen? Or why would you go to those nations? Because Jesus said, I am with you always. This love that we've experienced, this blessing to be children of God, the people in Yemen need it. The people in Somalia need it. The people in Algeria and Libya and Tunisia and Morocco, they need it. Amen? And who's going to tell them? Are we going to wait for everybody to encounter Jesus by a vision? It's happening in a lot of places. Or are we going to say, hey, I'm part of the call. And because my commander calls me, and he's given me a commitment, I will go with confidence. Because my future is in his hands. That's what gets me excited. I don't know if you noticed. I get a little bit excited by this. Because this is life, man. This is touching people's lives. And you see communities going from darkness to light. You know, in the Muslim communities, there'll be one husband for many wives. 3, 4, sometimes they'll divorce the early ones and get more because they want to have many, 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 many children. And it's just common. But if you can reach those fathers, you reach a whole community. Last July, one of our brothers that's been working into the Islamic communities came to me and he said, we got an opportunity. 1,000 fathers, household heads came to Christ. 1,000. We have to teach them. We have to have a discipleship program. We have to do baptism. And I said, okay, what is it going to take? He said, it's going to be a little bit expensive because there's so many of them. It's going to be about $10 a person, about $10,000. We're saying, oh, man, that's a lot of money. What are we going to do? And he said, we have to. This is going to touch a massive community. And it's not just the 1,000 people. It's their families, the wives, and the children. And okay, we have to do it. We have to do it. He said, okay, if you give me $10,000, whatever happens, I'll make it work. Fast forward to August, a month later. We released them some money. We said, okay, we'll take it by faith. We have to do this. And he gets out to do the training, and 500 more fathers had come to Christ. 1,500 family heads, many of them with more than 30 children. I don't know if you know the Islamic communities, but generally, any Islamic family will have 35-plus children. Some of the bigger ones are 75 and 80. Those fathers are coming to Christ. Families being led to Christ because the fathers are knowing Christ. I don't know about you, but that gets me thrilled. The commitment of my commander is evident. It's not something that I heard about at a distance. It's evident in the lives that we see today. Jesus Christ is building his church. And he's looking for you and you and you to be part of it. No, not the necessarily. Maybe there's another nation. Maybe there's a community here. Maybe there's an area that he's saying, hey, I want you to be part. Fulfill my call by making disciples. I want you to do this. I want you to be open this morning. Not just excited by what God has done, but excited by what God wants to do in you. Jesus Christ is stirring his church. Not just to be excited about the past. Not just to hear. And I want you to be excited about what you hear God doing in the nations, but here in Wainwright, what's the Spirit of God wanting to do? What's the commander calling you to do? What's that? You see, it's easy sometimes when the missionary comes and you think, okay, he's doing that because it's so far away and it's exciting, but what about here? What about here? It's the same God. I was talking to a pastor in Fort McMurray. He went into the hospital. And in the hospital, he's visiting one of his members. In the bed beside him is a Pakistani Muslim guy that had a stroke. Half his body is paralyzed, his right half his body. Can't move anything on his right leg, hand, shoulder, nothing. He's lying in the bed, and the pastor turned over and said, I'm going to pray for you, and my God can heal you. And he prayed for this Pakistani Muslim guy. The next day, the man got up and walked out of the hospital with just a slight bit of crippled hand. Feet, the rest of his body's all working, just a little bit of a crippled hand. He came to the church and he came to Christ, and God is working, guys. Here, in this nation, in your community, the same God that's bringing 1,500 fathers to Christ is working here in Wainwright to touch your community, your family, your friends. And we can have our confidence, because the future that Jesus reveals is strengthened because of our commander. All authority on heaven and earth. Nothing happens without his authority. He is approving it. Let's be strengthened because of our commander. And let's be fulfilled because we're responding to his call to make disciples. And let's be encouraged because he has a commitment. I am with you always. I get fired up. He's with me. When I go out to talk to that new Muslim convert or the young child in the church, he's with me. When I don't have the answers, he's with me. He's got the answers. We have a brother in our church who's from, and I don't know what the future will hold for that nation, but I sense this is the time. We can't wait another 20-something years for God to work in. Are you with me? You remember back to 93 and the American military went in and all of a sudden everybody abandoned the nation. Very little has been done. People have lived in fear. And so a whole generation has grown up without knowing Christ. This one brother, he came out of the capital city in Southern. And he came and he got saved, and we had the privilege of leading him in water baptism and to be baptized in the Spirit. And when that happened, this brother was so excited, so thrilled. And he said, I have a call to my people to go back to and to see Christ lifted up. And as we've been working with him and discipling him, he's been discipling people in Ethiopia. But my belief, we're going to see that nation touched. It's going to be touched. Why not? My commander has authority over everything. He's given us the call to make disciples. And he's committed that I am with you always. Amen? Are you encouraged this morning? Are you challenged this morning? Is your heart lifted and stirred for your community, for Canada, for the nations? I hope this morning you're spurred on, as Hebrews tells us, to love and good deeds. Let's bow in prayer. Heavenly Father, our heart is excited that the church of Christ is expanding and that Jesus is building his church. Father, we are thankful that you have allowed us to participate, that you've given us this amazing commander, Christ, who has authority on heaven and on earth, all authority. And you've given us this call to make disciples, and you've given us a commitment that you will be with us until the end. Father, this morning, bless us. Encourage us by your Spirit. Challenge us to be part of what you've asked us to do, so that you will be glorified and the name of Christ will be exalted through the nations of this world. In Jesus' holy name, amen.
Jesus, thank you. Praise you, God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Pastor. Good word, a good word. Can you turn this down? It's just enormous. Hallelujah. Thank you. Thank you, God, for your wonderful word and the ministry that's going on, and the wonderful good news that we are hearing of the work that's going on there. And we are so encouraged to hear from you. And what a good word for today, that our commander has a mission for us all, and be encouraged. Amen. Well, we have a few in our midst that are actually obeying the call and preparing to head off to Bible college this year. Janetta is...
behind you.
That would be you there. That's Janetta. Yes. Vaguely familiar with you. Come and stand up here. Are you kidding? Known her for, it seems like, forever. And praise God for that. And Janetta is heading off to Vanguard College. And so is my son Jacob. And Jacob's going to come up here. And you remember Jacob? Yes, he hasn't changed a bit. Exactly. Hallelujah. And here are these two are heading off to Bible college. And we would love... I know you got your hands full, but you can handle this. I know you can. And you have commissioned and sent out so many through your ministry and in Ethiopia. And how cool would that be that you would be praying a prayer of blessing and sending out for you two? Why don't you two stand forward and let Jerry get behind you or be in front of you, whichever way you see it works for you. Joe and Jake, yeah. Let's agree together.
Heavenly Father, our hearts are excited for Janetta and for Jake, Lord, and the life that you have prepared for them and the calling that you have on them. And as they head out to Vanguard this year, I pray that by your Holy Spirit, you will seal your purpose for their life. Confirm your calling for them, Lord. Bless them. Anoint them. I pray that you will guard their hearts and their minds in Christ Jesus, that they will learn and develop for your purposes and your calling to be fulfilled. As they step from training into engagement, Father, give them wisdom. Give them wisdom in their internships and their practicums and all the work of their hand, that it might be fruitful training, and release them into your kingdom harvest. That they might hear the truth consistently calling them, walking with them, leading them step by step to fulfill your purpose. Thank you for their life. Thank you for their obedience. And as they take this step of faith and as they walk out in obedience and in worship to you, Lord, even if there is some doubt, let your word of comfort hold them. Keep them in the palm of your hand. As the apple of your eye, may they be treasured vessels for your kingdom service. In Jesus' holy name, amen.
Amen. I wonder if our elders, board members, anyone who would like to come and let's just lay hands on these two young people as they called at different times of life, but to do the work of the Lord. I don't want to stand here alone. They want you to join them right here, right now. If you're thinking maybe that's you that's supposed to get up here and put a hand on, yes, that actually is you. And this is easy. We're not asking you to do 4 years of college yet, but we can put some hands on these folks. Board members, thank you, John. Thank you. Thank you. Ken, praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. Yeah, and hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah.
Thank you.
And of course, we know that Jared is already headed off to Grand Prairie, Peace River. Grand Prairie Bible College. And we had private prayer with him before he left, but he had to be there early just to get settled in and so on. So we'll remember him as well. So would you folks, could you come and join us too and stand in his stead? Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. And, I'm going to start with Janetta. Lord God, we pray for Janetta. We thank you for the many ministries that have been blessed by her and how you have used her to reach into our community, into the lives of children, and in so doing into their homes and into their futures. And what a blessing Joe has been to us in music and in child ministries and youth and so much more. Just, Lord, you have blessed us in bringing Janetta and the Kiesling family into our midst, into our family. And Lord, we pray just your anointing. We pray, Lord God, your presence and your power, your authority, and every blessing, every good thing that comes from above is from you. And we ask every good thing as Janetta goes to college. And Lord, bless her in her rising up and her laying down. Bless her in her working and in her rest. Bless her in her studies and in her relaxing. And we pray, God, bless her with friends and with fellowship, and bless her with every good thing that you have in store for her. Lord, I pray that she will never be overwhelmed, because she'll know that you go with her, and that every task that she is called to do, you will enable her to do it in Christ Jesus. And we thank you for that. And continue to prepare her for what lies before her in the ministries to follow, and as you are growing her in the kingdom work that you have for God. Bless Janetta Kiesling. We thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And Lord God, we pray, though Jared isn't here with us today personally, here his family is. And so we agree together. We know that we can reach out beyond the physical, and he is touched. And I know, Lord God, that you are blessing Jared and what a work you are doing in that young man's life. And Lord, thank you for bringing him into our midst and this dear family. And Lord, we just pray you would be with him and bless him. And I know you're going to open doors of opportunity. And this year coming is going to be such an adventure. And as you go with him, he's going to experience you in ever-growing ways. And Lord, I pray overwhelm him. I pray that you would use him mightily for the ministry that you are preparing for him. And Lord, we do not know what his future holds, but you do, and that's more than enough for us. We ask your blessing and your protection, and just keep him and use him and stretch him. And oh Lord, we thank you for Jared, and we pray this in Jesus' perfect name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And it is my great honor, Lord God, my great joy, that my son Jacob follows after his mom and dad and has chosen to go to college, go to Bible college, and he's experiencing his first year there. And Lord God, I just pray that you would challenge him, Lord God, that it would not be enough just to go, but he would excel. He would challenge himself. He would strive for more. He would see what he and you are capable of together. Lord God, I just pray that he would fully immerse himself in this experience and invite you into it. And Lord, that he would experience you in ever-increasing ways. And Lord, that as he trusts you, he'll find you altogether trustworthy. And in those days that he feels challenged and overwhelmed, and Lord, I just pray, God, that he would quickly find you there, and you would be all he needs. Lord God, I pray your blessing upon him. I pray your help for him. I pray you just grow him in the things of God. And Lord, just open his eyes to see the future you have for him. We ask this in Jesus' beautiful name. We all said, amen, amen. Praise God. Why don't you give somebody a hug while you're up here?